our last true student presentation. Not to hurt your feelings, Austin, but Reniform Resistant Soybean Varieties of Alabama, David Bailey, co-authors. Take it away.
Thank you, sir.
You can either use mouse or cursor keys, whichever you're most comfortable with.
All righty. All right. Well, thank y'all. As you can see, I guess I'm going against the grain a little bit at the Beltwide Cotton Conference and talking about soybeans, and I'm going to try to explain that just a little bit for you. So, like I say, I'm looking at the Reniform nematode, or looking at soybean varieties in Alabama in Reniform-infested fields, and just looking at the Reniform nematode, it's a semi-endoparasitic nematode that's found in tropic and subtropic regions. It has a vast host range, and cotton and soybeans are in that host range. The Reniform nematode is considered one of the most damaging pests of cotton in Alabama, and in 2013, up to 40% yield loss was seen at the Tennessee Valley Research and Extension Center in North Alabama. Also, the disease loss estimate committee saw that there was upwards to 1.7 million bales of cotton lost in Alabama, Louisiana, and Mississippi due to the Reniform nematode. So looking at it, if it can cause this much loss in cotton, how much can it cause in soybeans? Looking at the acreage planted in Alabama over the past couple of years, cotton has always been the majority of what's planted. And as you've noticed from 2007 on, soybean has started to make a comeback. So looking in 2012, soybeans were 340,000 acres of soybeans were planted in Alabama, whereas in 2011, 468,000 acres of cotton were planted, and then that dropped almost 80,000 acres in 2012. So from that drop, it's inevitable that soybeans are going to be introduced into fields that are infested with Reniform nematodes that were previously planted in cotton. So with this experiment, we really just wanted to know kind of what the yield potential of the varieties that we have available in Alabama, what their yield potential is in Reniform infested fields. So to do this, we screened some varieties in the greenhouse, and then from those screenings, we went into the field and did field trials with some varieties that came out of the screenings. So, like I said, we took the varieties to the greenhouse. We screened 43 varieties in containers. 41 were commercially available to growers in Alabama. We used Hartwig, which is a resistant to soybean cyst nematode. And then we used a susceptible Hutchinson variety. And we arranged these all in a randomized complete block design, had five reps of each test, and we repeated it twice, so there ended up being 10 reps in this trial. We placed autoclave soil in the containers. The soil mixture consisted of 68% sand, 20% silt, and a 12% clay. After we planted the different varieties in all the containers, we inoculated with 4,000 Reniform nematodes. 60 days after planting, we took the trial up. We extracted eggs from the root systems by 10% Clorox solution or extraction method, and then studied the egg numbers and the root weights to see what we wanted to take to the field. So with our field trial, We collected the egg numbers, figured out what we wanted to take to the field, and we ended up with 23 varieties, some from the trial and some varieties that were new coming out to Alabama, to the growers in Alabama. And we placed this trial in a Reniform infested field in North Alabama at the Tennessee Valley Research and Extension Center in Belmont, Alabama. And that field soil profile consisted of 57% sand, 28% silt, and 15% clay. We also took, at planting, we took soil samples to find our population of reniform nematodes in the field, and it was right around 4,500 vermiform nematodes per 150 cubic centimeters of soil. So with this trial, we took egg samples at 45 days. Same way with the, we collected roots, used the 10% Clorox extraction method. And then at 140 days, we went back and took soil samples and extracted those with the sucrose extraction method. So we used a jump to analyze all these with the Tukey-Kramer's HSD and Amines ANOVA. So moving on to our greenhouse trial, what we found was that we didn't find any significant differences on root fresh weights, but when we looked at it, we did find that one of our varieties was very high, supported a very high number of nematode eggs. So we kind of used that as a base, and we wanted to find what was significantly lower than that to try and take to the field. What we found is 19 varieties that were significantly lower than this one variety. So we grouped those together when we figured out the next season what varieties were going to be available for the farmers. We took the varieties out that we could use and placed them in the field. So looking at our field trials, comparing the numbers at 45 days to 140 days, I was hoping to correlate a little bit how many nematode eggs you have, and then at the end of the year or end of the growing season, how many vermiform you're going to have in the field. But I couldn't quite have a correlation there. So just because you have a high number of nematode eggs doesn't mean at the end of the year you're going to have a high number of vermiform reniform. So looking at my eggs compared to yield, what I found was that there wasn't a difference in my eggs per gram of root throughout the varieties, but we did find that a progeny, 6710, actually had a very high yielding. It yielded 67 bushels per acre. So from that, we also looked at this is just the same thing on 110 days after planting. And what we found here was we found, I believe it's nine varieties that yielded pretty high, and those high varieties actually supported lower numbers of nematodes. Even though they weren't significantly lower, they still supported a lower number. So with those varieties, we had four varieties that actually yielded over 60 bushels per acre. One other interesting thing is a Micogen variety that actually yielded very or similarly high to our 60 bushels per acre. It yielded 57 bushels per acre and actually had the lowest number of nematodes in the field or of all the varieties. Also, what was very interesting is looking at different, I guess, producers of the varieties, just because we also found that these different producers produce different yields and nematode numbers. But between these producers, there's a 27 bushels per acre difference. So if you're a farmer trying to plant something in the field, this would be very interesting to know if you want to plant one of these. So like I said, there were four varieties that produced over 60 bushels per acre. And looking at these, there was no significant difference between any of the nematode numbers. And when checking them back against the commercial checks that we put in, when looking at the susceptible Hutchinson, it yielded 43 bushels per acre and supported over 1,700 nematodes. And then the susceptible Hartwig, it yielded 52 bushels per acre and supported a little over 1,000 nematodes per 150 cubic centimeters of soil, which is not significantly different than any of our other numbers that we found. So going back to the primary goal of this study is just to find out the yield potential of soybean varieties that are available to growers in Alabama. And what we did find is there's multiple growers that are multiple varieties that are actually that that grow well in reniform invested soils, but they also have, you know, high populations of reniform. So if you're trying to rotate to something, this might not be what you need to rotate to. We also found that one of our higher yielding varieties, the Mycogen, it supported the lowest number, which was very interesting if you wanted to use a crop rotation there. And like I say, this is just the first year of this data. We hope to put it in again next year and have a lot more data come out of it. So one of the main points I think of this is that these are varieties that are in Alabama, and from a grower standpoint, just because you choose a producer of a variety, you need to know more about that variety than just who makes it, because between these two varieties right here, there's a 27 bushels per acre difference. So if you chose the HPK 4620 over the 5421, that's almost a gross increase of $385 an acre, with soybean prices rising above $14 an acre. And that concludes my talk. Thank you very much.
I got two questions. First one is, what maturity groups do the farmers there prefer?
It really depends on where they're at. North Alabama are, I think, 4, 5, and 6. And then if you get lower to South Alabama, it's 7, 8, and I guess, is that about it? I think that's about it.
Okay. Have you ever tried any of these? There are a few that have been reported as reniform resistant soybean cultivars. Most of them, I think they're ones that have cyst resistance from Peking.
Yes.
Something other than 7, 8, 8.
Well, I'd like to say this right here is what I could find that is available in Alabama. So that was mainly what I was going for. So if we could find it in Alabama, that's what I was trying. I'd be interested to put that in next year too. Like say this year we were putting in what we could find, and this is what we had.
To be able to assess how much losses you're getting or what varieties will perform best, it seems to me like you're going to have to just simply try all these different varieties out in the field just to find out how they perform. There's no looking at varieties in the greenhouse, any no correlation there that this is how they're going to perform in the field.
Yes, sir, but you looking at that many varieties in the field is...
I know.
It's interesting once you go up there and you try to take data. I mean, you try to take samples. So that would be, it would be interesting, and it would be great to do. If you had the time and all the resources to do it, it would be a big try.
Imagine they do some kind of variety performance testing in Alabama. Do you have some sites that don't have reniform problems where you can look up what the yield potential of these
I do, and next year I'm gonna put it in a field that's infested and one that is not infested. So my next year's data will have both of them with it.
Okay. In addition to reniform, are there any other disease situations or any other diseases that you want to consider when integrating soybean into a crop rotation?
There wasn't any in the field that I saw.
But in general, from the standpoint of soybean cotton rotations, really get back to cotton, is there anything else you might want to consider?
Not that I can think of off the top of my head. And I mean, that's not saying there's not, that's just right off the top of my head I can't think of.
Any other questions? Thank you very much.